compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
As per usual, the number to dial if you'd like to be on the program is 888-914-9149. That number never changes, so if you want to call and be on the program, maybe you've got a question, maybe you need an apologetics answer, perhaps you need a second opinion, maybe you thought or heard something, somebody said something, and you said, well, I'm not sure how to answer that, whatever it may be. I'm here for you, and we've got the better part of 3 hours ahead of us, so you have time to call. I was speaking at an event last night in Moline, Illinois, in the Quad Cities area. So Davenport, Iowa, for example, is across the Mississippi River, the mighty Mississippi River. It's quite an impressive sight, I'll tell you. And I had a couple different people come up to me at the book table. And by the way, a big shout out to all of my new friends here in the Quad Cities area. And lots of beautiful love going to all of you who attended my events at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish. Thank you for attending, and thank you for being so enthusiastic about your support for Relevant Radio. That was really, really wonderful. And a couple of people came to me independently of each other, and they asked, you know, when I try to call in, it's difficult to get in. Another lady said, well, will it be difficult for me to get in if I try to call? And I said, well, here's the trick. The earlier in the hour you call, the easier time you're going to get on the air. Because as the hour wears on, sometimes it's jammed phone lines from the very beginning. Often you have an easier time getting in early in the hour, but as the hour wears on, the phone lines jam up. So that's my secret for you. If you've been trying to get in and you haven't been successful, you get a busy signal, call earlier. Call now, as a matter of fact. We do have some lines open right now. 888-914-9149 is the number to dial. Now I want to bring you up to speed on the way things are being handled by way of COVID in places like Australia and even New Zealand to another extent. At times it just makes me scratch my head. Like, what are they thinking? Why are they doing this? Why is it so extreme? Well, here's an example of how farcical that can become. This is in New Zealand. Two alleged gang associates found with a car full of KFC takeout were arrested as they tried to enter New Zealand's largest city. That's Auckland. Now, this past Sunday. Now, this is in the midst of the strict coronavirus lockdown. This is courtesy of CNN, by the way. Under Auckland's level 4 lockdown measures, the strictest in the country, restaurants, including takeout services, remain closed. Everyone must stay home and only essential services are open. The rest of New Zealand is at level 2, with restaurants and cafes and bars and nightclubs are being open and residents are permitted to leave their homes. Police were patrolling back roads near the outskirts of Auckland when they noticed a suspicious-looking vehicle. I could just picture one cop turning to the other saying, that car looks suspicious. I wonder if they've got any KFC in there. So they approach the vehicle. The vehicle does a U-turn and speeds off. Eventually, the police catch up with it and they pull it over. They search the car. And they found what they deemed to be a large quantity of KFC. I think anybody would deem this to be a large quantity. $70,000 in cash and empty ounce bags. That would be, as I interpret this, I'm not in the drug culture, but I interpret that to be the kind of bags that you would put weed in. So they found a lot of the empty weed bags. $70,000 American, that's $100,000 in New Zealand money, and a large quantity of KFC. Police photos show at least 3 buckets of chicken, about 10 cups of coleslaw, a large package. Before the show, Jim said that he loves KFC. Jim, you're probably digging this story, aren't you?
Love it.
What would you do with 3 buckets of chicken, 10 cups of coleslaw, a large package of fries, and 4 large bags containing other KFC items, which are unnamed in the article? You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I would love it. And I love KFC chicken cold the next day. It's so good.
Do you know?
Yeah, it's great. But in fact, the funny thing is just real quick, when my wife and I were on our honeymoon in Paris, we were paying the, $20-$30 for the coffee and the croissant and all that. And one day I was just like, I'm so hungry. I could eat some KFC. And we get out of the metro.
Yeah.
And there is a KFC sign with Colonel Sanders. And I was like, yes. So yeah. We went there. And we love KFC.
I'll go you one better. I can picture you guys, Americans in Paris. You're just traipsing down the Champs-Élysées looking for that next KFC hit. But I took one of my sons, I took one of my teenage sons with me on a trip to Japan. We did a father-son trip. So the two of us were just there bebopping around Japan for, you know, about a week, 7-8 days. And I was very surprised to discover on that particular trip that although KFC is wildly popular just in general, they have them all over the country, people love KFC, that a friend of mine who lives in Japan, he says, you know, it goes beyond that. It's not just that they love KFC. They will rent out KFCs and have wedding receptions at a KFC. And if you can picture that, so the Japanese couple, they get married in the marriage, you know, the wedding chapel or something. And in some cases they'll have, or so I am told, their wedding reception at a KFC. It doesn't seem right to me, but
that's on a budget, I guess.
A big budget. I mean, maybe they cram, I don't know, a couple hundred people in there. So here's the rest of the story. So the police found all the buckets of chicken and the coleslaw. The two men, ages 23 and 30, were traveling to Auckland from Hamilton, which is about 75 miles south. The pair will appear in court for charges of breaching New Zealand's health order, police said. Further charges are likely. Under the nation's COVID-19 Public Health Response Act, the duo's risky attempt could result in imprisonment of up to 6 months or a fine of up to $2,800 American. Auckland is moving down to alert level 3. And under that level, travel is only allowed for permitted movement like commuting to work or school. New Zealand has reported more than 4,800 confirmed COVID-19 cases. And guess what the total, a grand total, it's sad, but still it's very small, a grand total in the whole country of 27 deaths. And that's 27 deaths in a nation of 5 million people. And they're resorting to these extreme measures. Now, it doesn't say whether the really big problem for these guys is the KFC. Because an empty bag, I mean, if it's an empty dime bag, I mean, how are they going to get you on that? There's nothing in it, just air. And that's not illegal. So that's happening. And I'll keep you up to date if the KFC bandits show up in the news any further. 888-914-9149. Now, in the midst of all of the other shortages that we've been talking about, you may remember I told you about how Taco Bell had run out of tortillas and, you know, just shortages of all kinds of strange things. Well, a new shortage has just popped up, this according to MSN, and that is a shortage of airline pilots. They're saying that after being thrust into crisis by the coronavirus, the aviation industry is facing even more trouble as we're emerging from the worst of the pandemic. To find out now, there's likely to be a shortage of airline pilots after thousands were laid off or they decided to retire. Government policies such as mandatory vaccinations for trainee pilots and travel curbs have also kept a new batch of potential aviators away, according to the chief executive officer of Alpha Aviation. They run flying schools in the United Arab Emirates and other places. They say they're having a really hard time finding qualified candidates. Airlines are going to continue to modernize their fleets as they do. They're going to require more pilots, he said. The market is getting interesting again, and we're starting to see that upward trend. We're starting to see airlines come to us and say, look, this is my delivery schedule. Can you have pilots ready for me in 2 years' time? Many airlines are aggressively trying to rehire airline pilots, as well as cabin crew and ground staff. But that's not been a simple process, and some jobs are left unfilled. Careers in the industry no longer look as secure as before. Now, this was interesting to me. I'm fascinated by aviation, so this was a little tidbit that I found interesting. It takes 18 to 24 months to train a pilot, which means that airline carriers must work on getting ready way ahead of the delivery of their aircraft. They have to get these pilots lined up. The crew ratio, or the number of pilots assigned to a plane, could be as high as 18. For some of the really big ones, like the A321, or 10 or 12 for older models in the same family, Boeing estimates that the world will need more than 600,000 new pilots in the next two decades, during which time airlines will take 43,600 new aircraft deliveries. And as they rotate in new aircraft, of course, they're rotating out the old aircraft. But they say, nonetheless, demand for the new planes is going to make demand for pilots get bigger and bigger. Alpha Aviation, for its part, is setting up a new flight training center in India. they're investing $100 million into this center. And that's, you know, that's a sign that they mean business when it comes to hiring pilots. So if you are maybe a retired airline pilot, or if you've been thinking about that, maybe this is something for you. 888-914-9149. And Jim, give me the high sign when you're ready to go to the phones. You let me know when all of our technical issues are sorted out here. Before we do that, I just want to share with you, before we take our break, another little detail that involves technology that I find very helpful in a way, and maybe a little worrisome in another way. You'll see why. Apple has announced that it's working on new iPhone features to help detect depression and cognitive decline. Now, I think it's good in the sense if we can harness technology to assist with things in our health, that's good. But what I fear is that these things can be basically like spies. So if your iPhone essentially, at least ostensibly, is looking at signs in the way that you interact with the phone and what your face looks like and other behaviors to determine whether or not maybe you've got depression or something like that, that's good. But I feel uncomfortable with the idea of the iPhone kind of intentionally keeping an eye on me, or you for that matter. So Apple says it's working on this technology to help diagnose depression and cognitive decline, aiming for tools that could help expand the scope of its burgeoning health portfolio. This according to the Wall Street Journal. Using an array of sensor data that includes mobility, physical activity, sleep patterns, typing behavior, and more, researchers hope they can tease out digital signals associated with target conditions so that algorithms can be created to detect them in you. Apple hopes that this will make this the basis for features and in its devices. The efforts spring from research partnerships that Apple has announced with the University of California, Los Angeles, aka UCLA, which is studying stress, anxiety, and depression, as well as a pharmaceutical company called Biogen, which is studying mild cognitive impairment. Seabreeze is Apple's code name for the UCLA project, and PI, P-I, is the code name for the Biogen project. Biogen launched its study on Monday. Many of the details about Apple studies haven't been reported, but the pharmaceutical company received approval this summer from the U.S. FDA for a new drug to treat mild cognitive impairment. Now, the first thing I thought about the first time I read this article was, maybe this is the nature of the deal. And I'm just reading between the lines here. Maybe Biogen said, listen, we got this new drug that just got approved. We need to roll it out to market. Apple, you've got a zillion people with iPhones. And how about this? What if you set up the iPhone so it can detect the possibility of the condition that our new drug can treat? That way, we can market it to that person and we'll give you a cut. Does that sound too cynical? I don't mean... there's got to be something in it for both sides. So Biogen, it almost strikes me as though it's a solution in search of a problem. Now, granted, there are plenty of people who do suffer from clinical depression and such, but I'm always looking for, like, what's the profit angle here? And I wonder if that might not be it. Representatives for Apple, Biogen, and UCLA declined to comment. Much of Apple's past health work has focused on features for its smartwatch. The mental health and cognitive decline research leverages more sensitive iPhone data and shows Apple's health unit is now looking for features for the company's flagship product, which is, of course, the iPhone. So as these new things roll out, just, I guess, more than anything else, just be aware that your tech more and more now is keeping an eye on you and, I guess, reporting back to the mothership. Uh-oh, looks like she's not following a good sleep pattern. Maybe you should market some drugs to her. It could be something like that. We'll see. I have to take a break. We'll come right back with more, including your phone calls. There are a couple lines open if you want to call now. The number is 888-914-9149. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'll be right back.
We don't talk about is all the great things that are going on.
And that's why Relevant Radio is determined to bring people things which are uplifting and educational and inspiring and lead people to God.
everything that you folks do is critically important ordinarily, but in a time like this, it becomes exponentially more important because people can take the time and listen to what other people are dealing with and pray with Father Rocky and the whole team. It's phenomenal.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
Hope restored, hearts healed, lives changed. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
I just want to say how thankful I am for your guys' ministry here on the radio. It makes a huge difference in my life. I am 23 years old, and I grew up in a kind of Catholic home. So I didn't even know that the Eucharist was really Jesus until many years later after I fell away and then came back to the faith. I just want to say the Eucharist is such a big part of my faith now. Like believing that Jesus is actually present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that has been such a big part of my change, bringing me back to the sacraments, bringing me back to the Catholic Church as my home. I can't even say how much of a difference the Eucharist has made in my life. I notice the difference every single time I go to Mass. The way I come out of Mass is always so much better than the way I go into it. The way I come out of adoration is always so much better than how I go into it. I can go in confused and I come out very like confident and nourished in Christ and with just so much more hope and purpose. It's just changed everything for me.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you.
Call and donate now.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift.
Recurring gift partners provide a stable, continuous source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expenses and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Break it down now. Is that what they say? Scoop it out now. What on earth does that mean? It's like an ice cream vendor. Scoop it out now. All right. Hey ho, hey ho. Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. That kind of rhymed. 888-914-9149. That's the number to call to be on the air. 888-914-9149. So who's up next, Jim? Who's ready to go? There we go. Alfredo in California. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, Patrick. I was going to ask you, you had to talk about recommendations on how to speak to a teenage boy about sexual education. Yeah. Recommendations that you made.
Are you a dad? Do you have a son coming up through the ranks?
Yes. Yes, okay. He's already 12.
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, the other night he asked me, and I hope I was I answered correctly.
Well, good. Yeah, if you're a first time, if this is your first time doing it, I can imagine why it might be a little bit nerve-wracking. So don't feel bad about it. My first advice would be to get the materials on this topic that are written by Steve Wood, and his website is dads.org. So if you go check that out, he's got books and CDs. He may even have some DVDs, but he's got a lot of great resources on parenting, and I really do recommend them. So if you want to go deeper, check out dads.org, Steve Wood. So it's actually not ironic. It's not the right word for it, but it's coincidental that you're asking me this question this morning, because last night at the public event that I was giving at a parish here in the Quad Cities area, I'm on the Illinois side of the Mississippi River, but we had people from all over who were there. And one of the questions came up about how do you talk to somebody about the Catholic faith, especially if they're not really asking to talk about it. How do you get into that? And I used, and this is where there's a mild coincidence here, and that is I used this example of giving the birds and the bees talk and how I go about doing that. And here you are this morning asking me a question about how to do that. So I don't know if there's a disturbance in the force, but it's an interesting coincidence. What I'd like to do right now is encourage parents, if you have children, especially those below the age of getting the birds and the bees talk, Mommy, what does he mean by the birds and the bees? Well, you'll have to explain that. There's a song that came out in the 60s, you know, let me tell you about the birds and the bees, that song. And it was, I'm sure that when that was on the radio, you know, and the kids are in the back and they're just listening to the song and it's, you know, bebopping along, mom and dad are glancing at each other. Obviously, there's, you know, a different level of meaning there. But honestly, parents, if this is, if you have kids in the room, just turn the radio down for a couple of minutes. And if you have kids who are in the room who maybe are past that point, then just exercise judgment is all I'm trying to say. I'll speak in generalities, as I typically do, but I just want to give you fair warning. So since Cyrus isn't here, I'll say it for you. Ready, steady, go. All right. So what I said last night, and what I'll recap for you right now, is the way I would do this with my sons. My wife would give the talk to our daughters. I would give the talk to my sons. And I would do it in two stages. I would do it this way. So I would often have a long walk with my son. And I like taking long walks anyway, so that wasn't anything out of the ordinary. So I'd have him along for a long walk, as we would often do. And I would start talking with him about, you know, hey, have you noticed, I've noticed you're getting a little bit of stubble on your chin, a little bit of, you know, darker peach fuzz on your upper lip. And do you know what that's all about? Oh, well, I guess. I'd say this is really a great time of life because your body is transitioning now and you're starting to grow hair because eventually you'll have a beard, which is great. And you're going to start bulking up on your muscle and you're going to get taller and you're going to get an Adam's apple. And so just kind of give him a pep talk about how this is a good and natural development of your body so that you transition from being a boy to being a man. And kind of just talk along those lines and kind of lay it out in a very basic and broad way so that it's understandable to him that these changes in his body are good. And it's even something really to look forward to. It's nothing to be afraid of. This is something to look forward to. You're growing up. You're filling out. Your voice is getting deeper. You're growing hair, kind of thing. And then I would have whatever questions that he might ask. It generally would be just general questions. And we would talk about that. So it's low-key, non-confrontational. It's not a conversation that would cause any embarrassment or anxiety or anything like that. Then the next time we would be having a walk, which typically would be a week or so later, then as we're walking along, I'd say, hey, remember we were talking last time about, you know, getting hair on your upper lip and your armpits and things like that? Yeah, I remember that. Well, we didn't get into all of it. And there's a few other things that I'd like to tell you about, which is really great because as you're growing up, you're going to be becoming a man and you're going to start being able to do things that men can do, like defend a family. You can be a good dad. You could be a good husband. You can defend people. You may need to defend a country in the army or be a policeman or things like that. Yeah, that's right. So my point here, and I won't proceed any further into the talk itself, but my point here is that what I tried to do was to make it gradual enough that it didn't cause any embarrassment or anything like that. And because remember, you know, a boy at that age, he knows there's something about all this that he doesn't quite know, and he probably is hearing things, and he's not entirely sure what's right and what's not right. So for you as dad, Alfredo, to be the steady, calm, not embarrassed source for him to hear the facts of this issue is so important. I would encourage you, when you have the talk with your son, I mean, you already did, but to the extent that you have more follow-up talks, don't be embarrassed. Don't be flustered. Don't treat this as if it were something that anybody should be embarrassed about. I advocate that you present this in a way that shows confidence and calm and beauty, and that this is all part of God's plan, which is why it's so wonderful as we grow up and take our rightful places in this life, including getting married and having children and all those things. So when it's presented that way, then I do believe that it will have the desired effect. In other words, your son will have confidence, and he'll have trust in you, and he'll understand what is real versus what is false that his friends are talking about. And chances are his friends are somewhat ignorant themselves in any case. That's what I would advocate. And if you take that approach, at least in my experience, having done that, it goes very smoothly. And then also a nice side effect, too, is that your son is far more likely to turn to you in the future. Hey, Dad, you know, I got another question. I'm kind of embarrassed, but, you know, what about this? He'll be more likely, if you know what I'm saying, Alfredo, to seek your advice in the future, which would be the best possible scenario, because better that he get good advice from you than bad advice from his peers. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. Or, the schools, that's very questionable now these days.
Well, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Patrick. I think I hit the good points there, but those follow-up conversations will come up, and I'll look that up.
I have a question for you, if you don't mind. Have you given him a smartphone?
Not yet.
Good. Don't. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't give him a smartphone. Because I'll tell you, I mean, you know why. You know why, right? Because if he has a smartphone, he's going to find out far more than you want him to find out at any given time. Right. And that would be a disaster. Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. Just some friendly encouragement.
Okay.
That's all. I'm just trying to encourage you.
Thank you very much.
You got it.
Hey, Patrick. Right.
Thank you.
One more question, Patrick. Well, just from off the subject there, but what's your favorite? Who's your favorite bass player? Mine personally is one of the best is Rush of Geddy Lee.
Geddy Lee.
Yeah.
Okay, so my absolute favorite of all time would be Paul McCartney. Now, I'm also very impressed with John Taylor, the bass player for Duran Duran. He's an excellent bass player. He's not just good, he's excellent. And I don't know if you know his bass playing, but he's very good. So, yeah, at the top would be Paul McCartney, John Taylor. I like the bass players who were with the groups that I really enjoyed when I was growing up. So Peter Cetera, really enjoyed his bass playing. And I could go down the list. I don't know if it would what it would mean to you, but I would say at the very top would be Paul McCartney.
Okay. Well, thank you. And I also share the appreciation of good rock music and musicians. Thank you.
Right on.
All right, Patrick, thank you. God bless. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Bye. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. We were talking before about my concern about in this new government spending bill for the defense budget that packed in there is a line item that would make it necessary for women to become eligible for the draft. We talked about that a few weeks ago. So I've got an update on that. The U.S. House of Representatives is going to vote on Monday on legislation that would force women to register for the draft. Now, before when we talked about it, it was in this bill and it wasn't really, it wasn't a law or anything, but it's moving in that direction and it's moving quickly in that direction. Democratic Representative Chrissy Houlihan convinced her peers on September the 1st to insert a provision into the final House version that removes the word male citizen from the selective service requirements and replaces it with citizen. It removes all other male-specific language, including himself and he, from the section on draft requirements. If passed, it would go next to the Senate for debate and an eventual vote. Simply put, as the selective service system is currently written, it is unconstitutional and discriminates based on sex, according to Houlihan. Yeah. This amendment, she says, clarifies that the purpose of the Selective Service is bigger than just drafting combat replacements. It ensures the Selective Service system is able to provide the Department of Defense with all the sufficient numbers of personnel with the necessary skills in the event of a national mobilization. The current male-only registration sends a message to women not only that they are not vital to the defense of this country, but also that they are not expected to participate in defending it, says Houlihan. A former high-ranking military official explained recently why drafting women is a bad idea. It is unnecessary. This is Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. Boykin, B-O-Y-K-I-N. It is unnecessary and would be detrimental to military readiness, lethality, and unit cohesion, the lieutenant general said. This change is not about enhancing our military, nor is it about equality, but rather is it about advancing a social agenda through our military, Boykin wrote with his colleague Mary Beth Waddell. The pair said drafting women would be detrimental to military lethality. Studies have shown that all male infantry units perform better than co-ed infantry units. They also said that there are sufficient men to fulfill draft requirements, and if a major conflict were to arise and the United States needed to more than double its military to, say, 5 million people, that would only require an additional 1.4% of the male population to serve. They said there is simply no military or national security reason to require women to register for the draft. And I completely agree with that. This is an agenda issue. It's not a let's make the military better issue. Women can serve in the military anyway. They can go in if they want to go in. Nothing's preventing them from going in. Go in. Serve. And thank you, by the way, for going in and serving, men and women. But it is portrayed often as if there's some barrier that prevents women from going in. But let's not forget what the draft is. What the draft is that you go in whether you want to or not. So if you want to go in, if you're a woman and you want to go in the military, go. Great. We'll celebrate that. But the whole point of the draft is, you know, you're going to have people who are going to be drafted into the military because they did not enlist. Therefore, the government says, you're going in anyway. That's what I object to. I mean, that's the big piece of what I object to. There are sub-reasons. So we've gone through all these reasons before. The general here is talking about how it will actually degrade the readiness of the Army. And I would consider his opinion to be a studied opinion. I never served in the military myself, but I mean, he certainly has. He's risen to that level of a 3-star general. So he has some insights there that I take seriously. So anyway, this is happening. And it may well be that in the not too distant future, your daughter, if she is of the age between 18 and whatever the upper age limit is, I don't know, 23, 24, whatever it may be, your daughter may be eligible to be drafted. And I don't like that. So I'm just making you aware of it. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back with more, including your phone calls. We have a line open right now. You can call 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
He can bring true peace. Number two, he's really and truly risen from the dead. And number three, he's the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus is.
His Eminence, Timothy Cardinal Dolan.
Pope St. John Paul II, he said, Jesus Christ is the answer to the questions posed by every single human life.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Relevant Radio.
I just wanted to share that a year ago when I started listening to the Divine Mercy, I've never prayed it as intensely as I have with you and prayed the Rosary with Father Rocky. Anyways, I was praying for my three adult children to come back to their faith. And I can tell you that I have two that have returned and are even reading their Bible now.
Wow.
We're talking about doing a Bible study as a family together. And if you would have asked me this a year ago, I would have said, no, there's no way, you know. But thank you, Jesus. Two of them are back, and we're praying for the third one. And she's sounding like she's going to go back to...
You know, I just love that story, because that's another one of those things. You know, people with addiction and kids away from the faith, they often think that, you know, oh, those prayers are never going to be answered. My prayers aren't working. You're a Monica that has seen the fruit of your prayer, and I'm so grateful for your call.
The Divine Mercy Chaplet, part of the Drew Mariani Show. 3 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
If you're just tuning in now and you're in your car and you're wondering what on earth is going on here, it's just a bunch of crazy happy Catholics who get together in the evening.
Pray the Rosary? If you haven't experienced the family rosary across America yet, round up your family in front of the TV at 7 p.m. Central and stream the family rosary across America from Relevant Radio.
I would like to pray for my aunt.
I'd like to pray for my nephew.
I would like to pray for this little child that's been given limited days to live.
Do you believe in miracles, Luke?
Oh, yeah.
So do I, and that's what we're going to pray for. Sounds like you come from a good family. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have 5 brothers and 1 sister.
Holy smokes. Nice. Your parents must be saints.
Yeah.
Spend half an hour with Jesus, His Blessed Mother Mary, and families from coast to coast. The Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio. Video stream on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com.
Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic Credit Union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Two quick things for your good-to-know file. Apple, as in the manufacturer of your iPhone, they have announced that all of their employees in Texas are now eligible for Apple to pay for them to abort their unborn babies in other states now that that heartbeat law is in effect in Texas. We've been talking about that. This is from Life News. ABC 7 News reported that Apple CEO Tim Cook said the company's medical insurance plan will cover out-of-state abortion costs for employees in Texas. He made the statement during an employees-only meeting. The New York Times obtained a recording of the meeting and reported about it over the weekend. TechCrunch and other news outlets confirmed the statement with Apple. In recent weeks, a number of politically left companies have condemned the Texas pro-life law, which saves as many as 100 unborn babies from abortion every day in the great state of Texas. The law prohibits abortions once an unborn baby's heartbeat is detectable, about 6 weeks of pregnancy. It also allows private citizens to enforce the law by suing abortionists who violate it. Now, that's the part of the law that I don't like personally. I don't like incentivizing. I don't like the financial incentive for individual citizens to rat out other people. I wish that part of the law weren't there, but it is. But in any case, Apple, for its part, has thousands of employees in Texas, and it described the heartbeat law as uniquely restrictive in an internal company employee memo. The company also said it is monitoring the lawsuits filed against the law, including one by Planned Parenthood and another from the Biden administration. Apple says we are actively monitoring the legal proceedings challenging this uniquely restrictive abortion law in Texas. In the meantime, we want to remind you that our benefits at Apple are comprehensive and that they allow our employees to travel out of state for medical care. That's what they're calling that. To travel out of state for medical care, quote unquote, if it is unavailable in their home state. The company also said employees should know that Apple supports their rights to make their own decisions regarding their own reproductive health. It sounds so nice when you put it that way, doesn't it? But there's always a dead person left over when this is all said and done. Other companies, including Lyft, Uber, Match, Bumble, and Tinder. That sounds like a really freaky law firm, doesn't it? Jim, how'd you like to be represented in court by Lyft, Uber, Match, Bumble, and Tinder?
No, that's a negative.
You're going to fire that crew, aren't you?
Yes.
How about... Okay, so would you rather be represented in court by Lyft, Uber, Match, Bumble, and Tinder, or solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short?
None of the above. I don't even want to go to
none
court.
None of the above. I don't blame you.
I'm going to stay behind the board working with you.
There you go. Solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short is a way that in the literary world, this life has been described. Solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. But it does sound like a pretty freaky law firm, though, doesn't it?
Yes.
Lyft, Uber, Match, Bumble, and Tinder. Or it could be like, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. So this is like the next 5 of the Seven Dwarves. So like those Seven Dwarves are now retired, and here's the new crew. Snow White and the 5 Dwarves. Lyft, Uber, Match, Bumble, and Tinder. Anyway.
Crazy world.
I think I've milked that for about as far as I'm going to be able to go with that one. So anyway, those companies have also criticized Texas. The CEO of a video game company lost his job after he expressed support for the life-saving new law. So, yeah, I mean, they're really serious about their abortion. They love their abortion. Now, there's one other little abortion-related story, and then we're going to go to the phones. This is from a dating service called OkCupid. Now, I don't really know much about this. I assume that OkCupid would be like, what do they call that, eHarmony or one of those deals. So Newsbusters has an article about OkCupid. OkCupid, the internet dating service, has introduced a pro-choice badge as their response. They're fighting back because they can. They're fighting back against Texas and this new law. So they have a new pro-choice badge. So users can add this badge to their dating profile. I'm friends with some people who are a little more conservative than I am or religious and on the fence about abortion, and that's all fine, dating coach Sarah Robinson says of her decision to add pro-choice content to her profile. She says, I think your partner is the one person in your life who should uphold the same standards and morals. Morals. I would rather be single for the rest of my life than be with a guy who doesn't support my right to bodily autonomy. Maybe that would be for the better, madam. And in fact, I think it would be for the better if you were single for the rest of your life, if that meant that you were not resorting to abortion. For every person who adds the badge to their profile, OkCupid will donate $1 to Planned Parenthood. OkCupid is not the only company that has responded to the law. Apple, as we talked about a minute ago, Lyft, we talked about them, and a variety of other companies have said the same thing. So there you have it. I don't know if OkCupid is even on the radar of the people who are listening to this program. But there it is. Okay. 888-914-9149. Back to the phones. Let's go to Nancy in Norwalk, California. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Good morning. Good morning.
Patrick, I bought a book, and it's called Catholic Deliverance Manual. Valentine Publishing puts it out. And there's something that I had read that I'd never heard before, and it talks about being intimate with people when before you were married, or even, you know, if there's an affair. But it says that there's unhealthy soul ties that are formed when a man and a woman are intimate, and even after they break up, there's a bond that remains intact, and that could be something that evil spirits can access and interfere with lives when you're already married to the church. Then it has a a little letter that you can say for each person that you've been with. And I've never heard of that, so I wanted to know if that was true.
Well, I'll put it this way. That to me seems fanciful, and maybe it's the pious thoughts or the pious musings of whoever wrote that book. I'm not familiar with the book itself. But there is a connection that we should at least take account of, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We can begin in verse 15. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who joins himself to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two shall become one flesh. But he who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun immorality. Every other sin which a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." So that passage there, 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 15, it speaks to the nature of that particular sin and how there is that union, not merely a bodily union, but there is also sort of this emotional union. But that does not enter into the church's teaching that I've ever seen about how this occasional or maybe just a one-time sin, that it lasts into the rest of your life. That's where I think that this person may be drawing upon a passage like this one and extrapolating from it something that the church doesn't teach. So if nothing else, one thing is for sure, that that kind of a emotionally and physically powerful experience that's sinful can have long-lasting psychological and emotional effects on the person, man or woman. So I don't doubt that. But if he's saying, I'm assuming the author is a he, I mean, it could be a woman, but if the author is asserting that you have a kind of spiritual link of some sort to that person, that's not true. That in itself is, I think it's going beyond what experience says and what the church teaches on this issue. You see what I mean?
Yes, and that's kind of what it sounds like. And if that's not true, I don't think I want to read the rest of the book because I'm not sure what to believe. It's hard sometimes when you get mm-hmm. books and you're not sure that they're completely with the church, with what the church teaches, and I don't want to have something that authors are writing and I'm not 100% sure that it's the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, since I haven't read it and I'm only discoursing on the basis of the few words that you shared with me, in principle, we can say this much, and I'll repeat it for the sake of effect here. In principle, it is true that if, let's say, a person who lives a life of promiscuity, that will have a long-term effect on that person, very likely it will have a long-term effect. It will affect one's emotions, one's memories. It can also be the cause of temptation, memories of those things that happened. It can negatively affect that person for a long time. That much is true. And I think that's just physiologically and psychologically something that we can see evidence of. But if the person is saying that this is now you are somehow, after that fact, you are somehow now spiritually bonded with that person, I would say no. So if that's the kind of stuff this book is saying, then I think you might be wise to put it aside and go on to something better. Like the Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales, or The Courage to be Chaste by Father Benedict Rochelle. I mean, those are very fine books, and they delve into these matters of sexual sin, but they do so in a way that is, it's not going to make you feel like you're chained to your past. That's the last thing God wants for you to be, is chained to your past. He has a future for you. And if this book is leading you in that other direction, then I think you're right. Probably put it aside.
Well, I'm glad I called. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, Nancy. It's nice to talk to you, and I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Let's see. We have 2 minutes before. Let's see. Yeah, we don't have time to go to another phone call, as much as I would like to. So here's what we'll do. We'll save patiently the few moments that we have now. We'll come back to your phone calls on the other side of the timeout. 888-914-9149. If you didn't hear those two books that I just mentioned a moment ago, I'll repeat the titles. The one is called The Courage to be Chaste, and that's by Father Benedict Groeschel. Keep in mind that chastity, that virtue, it governs primarily your bodily activity. Purity is the virtue that governs your mind. So the thoughts that you think and what you do with your mind when you are in a position where you are tempted in the area of lust. So the two go together, purity and chastity. So someone who is pure of heart is going to be chaste in body. Now, somebody who's chaste in body may not necessarily be pure in heart, but it makes it much easier for you to be pure of heart if you're chaste in body. So purity and chastity go together. Easier said than done, that's true, but it can be done by God's grace. And I'll be right back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show right after this quick timeout. But now it's a flight from reality itself.
Patrick Madrid.
We've turned in the direction of a denial of reality. Look at some of the, for example, gender ideology. Talk about the opposite of evidence and science-based. It's all about feelings and one's perception of oneself. I use that as just one example. Let me share a Bible passage with you. This is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen to this. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one by the activity of Satan will be with all power and with pretended signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are to perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. Therefore, God sends upon them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, so that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. A strong delusion. I mean, one way to interpret that is that God withdraws from certain people. I wonder if that may be a description of what's going on right now.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
Spread a little joy by introducing a friend to the Family Rosary Across America.
Margaret, are you all set?
Yes, I'm here, Father, and I'm ready to pray.
The Family Rosary Across America.
She doesn't have to have chemo, and the oncologist has no idea why this has happened.
Well, she should tell the oncologist about the Family Rosary Across America.
That's right.
Yep. That's pretty simple. You know, all the kiddos out there praying, and the Lord hears their prayers.
Round up your family in front of the TV at 7 p.m. Central and stream the Family Rosary Across America from Relevant Radio.
What we do here is very different. We can report on the news, but we can also offer that moral perspective.
I'd like to see all Catholics on their knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament praying the rosary, because Jesus is the one who's the answer.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.